This is the Partnership Podcast, where we bring you all things business from the Vail Valley, including business news, current issues, advocacy alerts, community conversations, and more. Presented by Vail Valley Partnership. This is the Partnership Podcast. It's Eric Williams. I'm so glad to be here with you. I like to set the stage. We're doing this one over Zoom because I wasn't able to make that drive to Glenwood Adventure Caverns today to speak with Ms. Nancy Hurd, who is the GM. Nancy, how you doing?
I'm doing great today. Thanks for your call.
Nice to have you over the Zoom, although I would, I like to be there in person for the podcast most of the time. And this is one that I would like to be there so much more than some of the other places I get to go.
Well, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
You get to work. You get to run a truly magical place. From the groups of students, the groups of people that I have interacted with and been there multiple times, I just think it's pretty special. How did you come to be a part of Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park?
Wow. How much time do you have?
Yeah. Until you get boring. Like I said, we'll keep going.
Well, I have a really cool story. It's a unique story. Well, we all have a story, right? Everyone's got a story. So anyway, I had worked for Aspen Skiing Company for 16 years. And I left the company as a general manager of the photo division. And when I was operating the photo division, one of our clients was Glenwood Caverns, or was actually some of the rafting companies down in Glenwood, trying to figure out how to add some revenue during the summer months. And then Steve Beckley and his company reached out to me and asked if, we could do the photography up at the caverns. And that's really how it all started and how we met. And that's how I built the relationship with Steve. And then one day we were on the river rafting together and just happened to run into each other. And he said, "When are you going to come work for me?"
Oh, that's cool. That is a cool story.
Yeah.
So some of those photos, like early photos and stuff that we see, fairy caves and stuff, that's some of your work.
Uh-huh.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What an interesting way to get connected. And so when you show up at work in the morning and you get to go someplace, like I've said, magical. And I'm holding on to that one. What's it feel like when you walk in?
It's funny that you use the word magical. That's a word that I often come back to, too, because, I get the opportunity to be up at the park at, sometimes 7 a.m. I'm not a morning person, but generally I see sunsets and not sunrises. I'm in the park a lot by myself, and it's magical, right? And then the next day, the park fills up with people. And it's magical. It's even more magical, with, people in enjoying the rides, enjoying the theater, enjoying the cave, enjoying the sights. And it's just, it's a lot of fun to just really provide something an experience to people that they can't get the same experience anywhere else.
Yeah. As this is a business podcast, these businesses, and I say these because Iron Mountain Hot Springs being a part of this as well under the same ownership, these businesses it's been fun to watch the growth and all the new things being added and all of that. How has your expansion been? Because it seems like it's been really quick in some trying times.
Yes, it has, especially as we hit the whole COVID mark. But, the caverns was on a pretty steep trajectory for a lot of years. Since they opened, I mean, there wasn't a year that we didn't do, didn't do more than we did the next year. I was in my first 12 years there. We put in 10 capital projects in 12 years. And then we opened the hot springs in 2015. And I was fortunate enough to be on the development and the startup team there. And I was kind of glad once we hired a general manager down there to run the place, Aaron McAllister, my counterpart over at the Hot Springs, because now the Glenwood Caverns can slow down a little bit.
Yeah, that is nice for you, just a moment. Although, some of those crazy days with all those folks are so much fun.
Yeah, we slow down in the development, just because, like I said, we did 10 major projects in 12 years. And now, we start up a new property and there's a lot of focus and a lot of attention and a lot of steep growth going on at the Iron Mountain Hot Springs, as well as some development because of it. So we get to slow down a little bit at the park and smell the roses.
Smell the roses, ride the swing. I'll have all the eat the rock candy, do all the fun stuff. Is that the weird one that came into my brain next? Is something that I love there is the rock candy. For those people who are like the park and the springs and so forth, give us the quick elevator pitch as to what these two magical things are in case we've got somebody who hasn't had a chance to be there yet.
Certainly. One thing I think is unique about it. So there's Glenwood Caverns Adventure Park, and it was opened in 1999 by Steve and Jeannie Beckley. And they opened, they bought the caves, and that's all it was the caves. And people for the first 3 years drove up the mountain. They drove them up in buses to the top of the mountain, and they took cave tours. And then a few years later, they put a gondola and a restaurant in, and that was in 2003. And at that point, the capacity of the gondola far outweighed the capacity in the cave, meaning we could bring more people to the top of the mountain than we could actually get into the cave. And so people were waiting 2 and 3 hours for a cave tour. So Steve convinced this company in Germany called Wiegand to put a mountain coaster in America.
Yeah.
And they said they refused to do it. And so Steve traveled to Germany to twist their arm even a little bit more. And thus, in 2005, we had the first America's first mountain coaster. And now there's hundreds of them, as you
Yeah.
know. And the mountain coaster is different than the Alpine slide because the Alpine slide is a cart that goes in a little trough, and the Alpine coaster is on a fixed coaster track. So that happened in 2005, and that began the amusement park. And it was really just an accident because we found we gave people something to do while they were waiting in line for the caves. And then we started adding more and more attractions, and then we found from a business perspective that that was a reason for people to come back. It made the experience repeatable,
Yeah.
whereas just the caves, I don't mean just the caves because they're pretty cool,
Oh, it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
but most people, once they've seen a cave, they don't generally go back, right? So with this, it made our experience repeatable, and that was really the how the adventure park came to be. And what's unique about, I think, the two properties, the Iron Mountain Hot Springs and Glenwood Caverns, is that they were both operated in the late 1800s by so the caves were operated in the late 1800s. They were giving commercial cave tours, and of course the hot springs has a lot in their history, and they were operating as a bathhouse and a mineral place, and even I think a doctor's office, a chiropractor's doctor's office. So it's, I think historically, we're going back and reviving some, businesses from the late 1800s, which I think is pretty cool.
That is cool. That's that,
Yeah.
sometimes we think that we live in a place where everything's, I mean, I live in a 50-year-old town, and
Yeah.
so it's a,
Yeah.
I love the history that is all around this place that sometimes we don't pay as much attention to as we
Yeah.
should.
Is
Let's,
it? Well, and I'm sorry, but I didn't get to tell you about the Iron Mountain Hot Springs. So we started
yeah.
that, we opened that in 2015, same ownership with some additional partners in there. And that's just been what's unique about that is it's unfiltered, untreated, I shouldn't say unfiltered, untreated mineral water. So it's pure, and it's not only untreated, but it's not diluted. Whereas some other hot springs you might go to, they're either diluted or they're treated. And so this so our legacy, what we call the legacy side, the initial build is all of just pure mineral water right out of the ground, and it's not diluted and it's not treated. Last July, we opened a new section with 20 more pools, and that's called our World Springs, and
Yeah.
that is inspired waters, meaning we're inspired by the famous hot springs throughout the world, say, the Blue Lagoon and in places in Korea and every continent, every country, not every country, but every continent is represented. And we make the recipe to match the same recipe that you would get at, say, Blue Lagoon. So we look up the mineral content of that
Oh, that's
hot springs.
cool.
Yeah.
That's
And
cool.
then, yeah, we replicate it. So you just sit down in there and you just think about being in France or
We did
where,
one in Iceland one time with the kids. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. Iceland, that might be the big one that I think is probably the most recognized
Yeah.
and popular. But so now we call that the World Springs expansion, and it's inspired by the different World Springs around the world.
That's super cool. And I mean, it was already cool, and it's just getting better and better. You know, it sounds to me like there's a force of nature here. Obviously, it's your team and your staff and all the people, but the Beckley's, I mean, he'll travel to Germany. I'm reading articles about negotiating with Michael Bennett to do landmarks and so forth. Does this guy sleep? That's my question, I think.
No,
Yeah.
actually, he doesn't. because we were at a, this is a fun story. We were at a, he took us on retreat 1 year. I think we went to Dallas or something, and we were in a VRBO or in a hotel. This one was a hotel. And at 4 in the morning, we all got a text or an email from Steve that says, "Everybody, meet in the lobby, 8 a.m. I got an idea." It's so we're like, oh, geez. So, but you know, he was up at night, up at 4 in the morning, coming up with this idea to present us with an idea, and that's kind of his catchphrase is, "I've got an idea," you know. So,
And you guys say when he says that, that's 2 years of work and a whole budget and
well, yeah, well, you know, and as soon as the project's built, he's over it. Like we built one of a huge project at the park, and we literally just finished opening a ride, and it's a lot of work, you know, months and months and months and months and stress, and so we opened the ride and we're walking away from it, you know, big smiles. We had a little like over the hump party or whatever, you know, all the construction workers and everyone that participated, and we're walking away from the ride, and Steve says, he starts talking about the next one, and I was like, are you serious? Like, you're over this, right? I mean, the ride's open, so you're done, but my job is just starting.
Yeah,
We gotta
you're like,
promote it, we gotta market it, we gotta staff it, we gotta train it, we gotta, you know. But to him, it was like, okay, that's done, my part's done, I'm off to the next one. So yeah, I don't think he gets a lot of sleep.
yeah, that's pretty awesome though to be able to work with someone, I mean, in some ways.
Oh
You
no,
know.
it's very awesome. It's
Yeah.
fun to work with someone who's very driven, you know, that way. And I would tell people he's like a big kid, you know, like likes to play and likes to build.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. We one of the things I was mentioning that he was going after with Senator Michael Bennett was the National Natural Landmark.
Easy for you to say.
I know, I was just kind of like I kept saying national or natural landmark
It's
before, but yes, National Natural Landmark. You earned that distinction very recently. Congratulations. It's a cool thing.
yeah, thank you very much. We're very proud of that. Yes,
Yeah.
we started that 10 years ago. The application process was pretty massive. We had over 10 subject matter experts, from geologists to biologists to professors to historians, and putting together the application, and we submitted it 10 years ago.
Wow.
And that's how long this process took. And I managed the process of it, the administrative part of the application, because a lot of people have come and gone in 10 years, you know. I think even some of the expert witnesses are witnesses, expert subject matter experts are no longer
Yeah.
even with us. So just sort of holding on to the process and making sure it worked its way through. And we just 10 years later, we finally got our designation.
I think that's really cool. Talk to me about what that means, and for a business. I know I'm putting you out there because you just got the designation, but this is, I mean, it has to be a business decision, right? Or is it because you wanted to share? Where did the impetus come from for going after this?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, Steve and Gina have always felt like we knew how special the cave was. Steve was passionate about caving in his youth, in his college days. And so it was a lot about the preservation of the. So we've taken care, you know, I guess we've taken care of and very proud of the measures that we've gone to ensure that we're not damaging the cave, that we're showing people the cave, we're educating, we do a lot of school programs. So we're doing education and showing off one, you know, natural wonder. So we take a lot of measures to protect the cave. And you know, airlock doors, we have a whole volunteer group of cavers that come up on a monthly basis. There's monitors throughout the cave for the air, the temperature, the humidity of the cave, so to make sure that we're not drying the cave out. So it really did start. I don't think we really had any sense of what from a business perspective what it might mean, and honestly, we still don't, because
Yeah.
We just
Yeah,
got the
it's new.
designation. We just got the designation. But no, I think just the purity of, and the protection of the cave, and then also knowing that once it's designated as this, any future ownership and any future, purveyors of the cave, it kind of locks them into having to continue the stewardship.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm glad that it came that way, and that it doesn't start out as a business decision. Hopefully, it does make sense as a business decision. Thinking back to Hanging Lake, who got this same designation not all that far from you, their business went up when they got the designation.
Oh yeah, so much so. I don't think they could handle the volume. Matter of fact, because of it, they ended up having to create a reservation system
Yeah.
for that, and then and also a transportation system to transport people to the trailhead. So yeah, there was a lot of notoriety. I think there's some people out there, that have a little bit more spare time than I do that can jump in an RV and maybe go across the country, and it might be on their bucket list to hit the the national parks, the national natural landmarks, and things like that.
That is cool. And we're seeing more and more of that, people just getting out and doing that. All right, here's the hard-hitting question based on my research that I really wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Eight different organisms that spend their entire lives in caves, but what is a pseudoscorpion?
Oh, it's
I you talked about the geologists and the biologists and all the different
yeah.
things, but eight organisms live in the Glenwood Caverns that do
Yes.
spend their lives in caves, endemic troglobites, but the pseudoscorpion, I don't know what that is, and I didn't look it up yet.
Yep, it's tiny, incy tiny, almost microscopic, but
Oh,
not.
yeah.
Almost microscopic, but not. It's a little red scorpion.
That's really cool.
Yes, it's fascinating. It's an insect, though. It's about, gosh, I'd say like, how big is that? I know that they don't have a camera, but I mean, it's probably like
Like the end of a pencil or something, like a pencil lead. Yeah.
Like maybe a centimeter or even half of a centimeter, but it's tiny little, it's red and it looks like a scorpion
All right. All
with
right.
little pincers on it and stuff.
That's pretty cool. There's that I mean, for so long now, 1.69 million years old is what they're assuming the Glenwood Caves are. And
Yeah, and we have to be careful about, we want to make sure we don't offend anybody in terms of,
oh yeah.
creationists
In terms of
and
how old the Earth is and so forth, well,
yeah.
some geologists say that this cave could be. This is coming from an old pastor too, so I'm saying it with a smile on my face. Some geologists say this cave could be, 1.5 million years old. And the only reason that I'd share that is you are the steward of something that's, been around for 1.5 million years. That's really kind of cool when you take a step back and look at that.
That's a good perspective. I don't think I ever
It's
really
going to be staff meeting on Monday morning. Hey guys.
okay. No, but it is, it's one thing, to it's a responsibility,
Yeah.
to it really is. And it's and we take that responsibility seriously.
If people want to find out more information about this, if people want to come visit you, would you give them a kind invitation, which people appreciate in this world, to come to either and why they should?
Yes. So our motto for our tagline for the Glenwood Caverns is "Get up there, just get up there." All right. So come on in. Come on, a big hearty, old Western welcome. Come on up. You're all welcome.
Yep.
Any shape, size, color, denomination. So no, it's a lot of fun. It's a good experience. So please, we will open our arms and welcome anybody to come up and enjoy some cool family fun. And Iron Mountain Hot Springs, come soak in the
Yeah.
natural waters on the bank of the Colorado River.
I think that's so cool. I this is the from the podcast guy. I've been to both these places, and she's not blowing smoke. These are both fantastic places in the world. Cannot wait to come back again. And congratulations on the National Landmark. It really is a big deal. And I hope it doubles your business. I kind of hope it doesn't double your business because you said things were just slowing down a little bit.
Well, okay, the development is slowing down, but
Oh yeah.
we'd still like the business to it has to we have to grow a little bit to be sustainable, so
There it is. Well, it's going to happen. It continues to happen. It has continued to happen for so long. You've been on that trajectory. So hopefully this is just another piece that keeps moving, and the protection piece that this is going to be the fairy caves, the fabled fairy caves, going to be
Yes,
preserved
yes.
for so long. And that makes us all happy. We appreciate that.
Thank you
Nancy,
so
you
much.
do cool stuff in this world. Like I said, I use the word magic way too many times on this on a business-based podcast, but I do appreciate all that you shared with us.
Great. Thank you so much, Eric. I enjoyed my time.
Be sure to subscribe to the Partnership Podcast on whatever platform you're listening right now, and find more resources at ValeValleyPartnership.com.